Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Scott Zimmer, Bruce Sutherland, and Chase Walters. Coming up on TMS, if you're married, cut it in half.
Simply drawing Santa Claus all the time.
All for one and none for all.
Please mind the kid's gap.
Looking at John's ham.
Zoe's soft core calendar.
Still require that teat.
At the law office of strawberry, lemon, and white.
Backwards address bullshit.
Calendar etiquette.
Napoleon, give me some of your frites.
Charcuterie board.
What is athlete?
IKEA nightly.
Going postal with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
All we need to do is find the tooth of a baby crocodile, the blood of a pigeon, and the pubes of a virgin. And then we just have to burn them all before sunset.
What's the world coming to is all I'm saying.
The Morning Stream. Don't eat that. It's Pluto.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is the morning stream for December 11th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett.
It's 12-11-23. 12 Whoa. Plus 11 equals 23, Scott.
What? No one told me this before the show?
It just dawned on me as I was looking at the date to see if there are any like palindromes or anything.
I love stuff like that.
I know you do.
I like this one even more because it's kind of a cool math thing you don't think of right away. It's not an obvious pattern, right? You have to put your head to it.
And you Europeans, it works for you too.
Yeah, it does work for you guys.
Yeah.
Either way,
sometimes
whatever
you
way
get
you
those
do it.
Things that don't work for both of us now. No, it works for both.
This is, by the way, the way you know that Bo Schwartz handles the dating or putting the date information on my docs when I do core is that he does that backwards address bullshit that the Canadians do. So thanks, Canada.
Day, month, year.
Yeah, they love that up there. So it's fine. And I understand why you guys think it's better. I think you might even be right. But we're stubborn a-holes down here, all right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to change. If I could, I would change us to, it's not the same thing, but I would change us to metric tomorrow if I could. I think one generation could struggle with it, and then after that, we'd all be good and in the clear. Why we don't do it, I don't know. But I'm here and ready. Brian's ready. We're ready for metric.
I'm ready.
Metric.
We're ready.
Yeah. I'll do Celsius. I don't give a shit about Fahrenheit. I really don't.
I think I'm more ready for metric than I am for daylight savings time to just be straight across the board. Because I think about that like, oh, man, it would be so great to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And then I'm out in the car and it's 3:00 and the sun is already starting to get close to the mountains and start to go down. And I think, would I be okay with this being 2:00 and having it be like this, like dark at 4 in the middle of November and December, like maybe not. Maybe this is not what we want.
Don't we just have to flip to the other one, right? And that's the one we stay with, right?
Is that the one we stay with?
Well, that's the one I would want to stay with for the same reasons you're describing. I want longer day hours.
It wouldn't change how many hours, but it would. It just means that our mornings would be darker,
right?
So like it would be 9:00 or 8:00 and it would still be dark outside or something.
This is probably why it'll never change, right? Because people don't like that and they don't like the other either. They want to have
both. That's why it's so hard to adopt that shift or get rid of that shift.
And they do it in Arizona, but Arizona, you guys don't have climate reasons why you would this messes you up. Like you don't have cold winters.
They're used to it. I think they're used to it. That would be a good question for for Tanner sometime, or any of our Arizonans, Nicole being a former Arizonan, did it get weird? Did it really suck in the winter months when either it was super dark late in the morning or it was super dark early in the afternoon? I don't know which one they were on.
But yeah. Was it a problem? Because right now they're mountain. Cause we had to switch around core for John. John's in Arizona.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Oh, so he'd be another person to ask. Yeah. I'd be curious.
So he used to start the show at 5. He now starts it, or no, he used to start it at 4 his time. And when our time changed, it was like, well, I can't start it at 3.
Sure.
So I bumped up to before.
You and Bo had to adjust.
Yeah. Which is sucky for us, but also for them, because they have to tell everyone that they have the time that never changes. So you have to work around me. It's all jacked. We either have to do this together or don't do it at all. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whole country at once.
All for one
world.
Or all for none.
That's right. All for one, all for none. Wait, that doesn't work. All for one
and or none for all. There. Something like that. There's something.
That's it right there. Yeah. Anyway, we hope you had a good weekend. Ours was busy, mostly with little kids, but there was a bunch of stuff going on. And after the kids got picked up yesterday, Kim and I decided, it used to be a thing we'd do all the time when our kids were little. We'd go to the mall a lot. We loved the mall. Sure. All right. Sure. Pull out the stroller, take a kid with you, roll around in there, especially during the holidays, spend too much time in software, etc. Kim would go to Crate and Barrel and spend way too much time in there, this sort of stuff. And so we thought we'd go relive a little bit of that.
You go to New York Express, I'm going to go hang out in Babbage's.
Exactly. That's where I wanted to be. That's where my heart was.
Right. Exactly.
You know, she can spend time in Sephora all she wants, but please go to the cool stores. But anyway, we would go, we decided to go there, and we went in there and we got a steak and cheese thing at the food court. From Great Steak.
The Great Steak Escape?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Those. Yeah. Those are good.
Yeah.
So we had that. Boy, those prices have gone up. Anyway.
Yeah. Did you get WizWit?
No. I got, what did we get? We got a big one and then cut it in half.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the way to do it if you're married. You eat less and you're going to share it anyway. So do that.
Exactly. Might as well.
Yeah. Skip the fries, cause those are no good for me anymore. And we just, you know, chilled. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was a mall that we used to go to all the time when we first got married. So it's just a little bit of nostalgia, Christmas shit everywhere, all that kind of stuff. But I have to say this about a couple of stores. There's a couple of chain stores like The Gap and The Gap Kids. And then there's this other one. And I forgot the name of it. I think it starts with an F, but it's like The Gap, but it's big and white and open. And there's like a version for kids and a big version for adults.
Mm, okay.
They may be owned by The Gap people. I don't even know. Or I think they also own, what's that other one? Oh, I forgot the other one. It was big in the 90s. Anyway, they have this Lego store in there next to the Kids Gap. And the Lego store has a line that is three lines or three loops deep. Waiting to get in there.
To get into the Lego store.
To the Lego store. And there's a guy out front holding the sign saying, we're at capacity. Please stand by. So he doesn't have to keep repeating it. He just stands there holding it. And then they slowly, someone will trickle out. They trickle somebody in. And the store is packed. So it's whatever the fire marshal limit is, that's what they're at.
Sure, max capacity.
And then to them, there's a Kids Gap, a Gap Kids, I guess is how you say it. And
the Kids Gap.
And there's...
Watch out! Find the Kids Gap!
Watch the Kids Gap. And there's hardly, I think maybe one person in there at the at the sale rack. Other than that, it's empty. But it is a gigantic space. So much more square footage in the Kids Gap. And the Lego store is this tiny little thing that can only hold 60 people at a time. Swap. Go. Come together. Wait, have a meeting of the minds and just switch places.
Sure. Just say, take the weekend. Move all your Lego stuff into the Kids Gap store. Move all your Kids Gap stuff into the Lego space.
Yeah.
We'll figure out contracts and rent later. Just the signage. We'll figure that all out.
I'm sure it's as easy as that, Brian. Just a quick weekend.
As easy as that.
Yes. And you're done. But I just kept thinking, man, you shouldn't have to do this three-stack line. while these guys aren't having anything going on. And also,
well, that line also might be to help out the store clerks in the Lego store. Like, I know there's probably a capacity issue, fire marshal capacity issue, of course, as well. But you get all those people in line wanting to buy their Atari 2600 last ones before they're sold out of them forever for $400 or whatever. Well, that Stark Tower for $500.
Yeah,
great. But I always think about, oh, the build would be so much fun, but I don't want to keep it when I'm done. I want to just build it, but I don't want to keep it.
You don't want to have that hanging around, eh? You don't want to put that in your collection?
I don't want to have to maintain it and dust it and, like, have to build a shelf for it. Like, shelf space in this basement is at a premium.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm even trying to figure out if there's a way to hang the helicarrier so it can be suspended from the ceiling rather than take up a shelf.
That's a good idea. I'd do that with like a Millennium Falcon or something too. You'd want to hang it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's too big. Yeah. That's not bad. And you got that cutaway ceiling stuff, the whatever you call it.
I do. I have the drop ceiling, the acoustical tile.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You should do that. But anyway, I'm just saying, get Kids Gap, either improve your marketing and sell some stuff or quit hogging all the space. All right, because there's nobody in there. I don't know what's going on. The holidays are upon us. People are packed in this mall. This mall is packed with human beings. And every store is busy. Even the stupid mattress stores and all the freaking, there's a massage salon and a weird Asian imports place. They're all killing it.
Yeah.
Except Gap. Gap's got nobody in it.
For whatever reason, nobody wants to buy anything for the babies. Will somebody please think of the babies?
Even the main Gap, the adult Gap, had less people than I thought should be in there for a holiday time. It's just weird. I don't know. Maybe the Gap has finally, fallen out of favor. I don't know what's going on there. But it was fun. Maybe. I like the mall. I like it a lot. I like mall food. I like hanging around a mall. I realize it's a bit of a relic in the world, or at least it's considered that. But man, let me tell you, mid-80s through the 90s, that was your jam. That's where you went.
Yeah.
That's where I would stay. Or that's where I would go at 5:30 in the morning for my PlayStation to come out.
And wait so you can be the first to get it.
Yeah.
Do you have a Second and Charles out there? The store called Second and Charles?
I don't know. Let's see.
We may have talked about this before, but...
Second and Charles.
Second, 2ND and Charles.com. Let me see locations and see if you guys have one.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
States. Oh, yeah, there's some in Utah.
Is there?
In Orem. Okay, further from you.
Not too far, though. I could do that.
Not too far. 140 East University Parkway. Oh. This is a store.
It's by my mom.
That. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is a store that is like everything we like. And by we, I mean you, me, and everybody in this inner circle, all in one store. Video games, music, toys, books, little models, statues, DVDs, if you're into that sort of thing, Blu-rays, if you want those, Funko Pops, like all that stuff.
They got vinyl.
Woo! Vinyl too, yeah. And fairly decent prices on vinyl. Not too bad. Oh, yeah, musical instruments. They buy all your old crap. I took a big box of stuff over there. I got $55 in store cash to use there.
Yeah.
But...
Wow, some of these are expensive, like... So the Sucker Punch vinyl goes for $161.
Yeah, tell that to Dunaway. I bet he's already got it.
He probably does. They got the Craft. Remember the movie with all the girls that were witches or whatever from the 90s?
Yeah.
That's $199.95 for that. Damn.
See, and that's brand, like, you know, that's the reissues. You go there, you can also get like used or the original albums that aren't on the 180-gram vinyl.
Yeah.
Claire is yelling, is it secondhand Ibit? Yes, it's secondhand.
Like, yeah, that's a lot where of the it second is secondhand. From,
like,
right?
I'm saying, they buy your old shit so that they can sell it to new people.
Yeah, it's second. Did it start out on the street? Is that why it's named Second and Charles? Is because it was a street, or like a crossroad?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a play on secondhand. Like it's, you're getting stuff, some of it is secondhand, but some of the stuff is brand new.
They have adult puzzles, but they're not what you think they are. They're just...
I know. It just means they aren't like 16 pieces, easy to grab, pictures of Bluey.
More than 10 pieces, that sort of thing.
That's right. But that place is great. And if you get a chance, make the trip up to Orem. Visit your mom and then go visit Second and
We're
Charles.
Actually going and up there Friday night. I'll go home and check it out.
There you go. There. Maybe take some of your stuff. Like, take a box of stuff that you want to sell and see what they'll give you for it.
It does look like they'll take just about any of this stuff. Like,
they will. Yeah. Yeah, I took a bunch of Funko Pops that I still had in the box from the old Marvel Collector Core monthly shipment crates and a couple other things that I probably got from a loot crate. It's like, yeah, I don't need this.
Wow. You know what? They got blue. They'll give you money for these. For the not Blu-rays, but your DVD, Blu-rays too, but
yeah,
DVDs,
Blu-rays
man.
Too. Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah, it's some box sets I took.
They got HD DVDs.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, do they sell a thing that'll play on?
That's a good question. Probably not. Those are harder to get. But all right, you've convinced me.
Shane confirms that the name is a mix of second from the term secondhand and Charles Anderson. Charles Anderson. Mr. Anderson, which is the founder's father.
Oh, you named it after his dad. That's cool.
After his dad. It's real nice.
Oh, it sounds like an address. You're like, hey, meet me over on
it
second
totally
of Charles.
Does. Yeah, I think it's supposed to. Yeah.
Okay. It's good. I like it. I'm going to go check it out. And I can buy Ticket to Paradise for $34.96 on DVD. I want
the oh, I gotcha. Not the not the Eddie Money album.
No, it's the
I guess that's two Tickets to Paradise.
George Clooney and Julia Roberts thing that it's not even that old.
The thing from a couple years ago or last year. Yeah.
I can get the Lethal Weapon, the complete second season, for $39.98, or The Passion of the Christ for $19.95.
I'll tell you that Lethal Weapon series
wasn't
bad.
No, it was actually good. I liked it.
It was actually pretty good. The dude apparently was a real dick. The Riggs, the actor who played Riggs, apparently was a real problem. But Wayans was great.
The problem you got is you got your network TV and they don't let things breathe. So, you know, good shows just don't. Like Hannibal. Hannibal was amazing. Mm-hmm. NBC gave it, what, three seasons and then pooped out? Bastards. Yeah. Well, anyway, go to the mall, everybody, is what I'm saying. It's a good time. It's fun. It's just a fun, and in the holidays, it's the perfect time for it because it's just shit everywhere. Sunday's not going to be their busiest day. Don't go. I wouldn't go on a Saturday. That'd be a nightmare. It just sounds awful.
Oh, God, yeah. But where else are you going to get a Sbarro and an Orange Julius?
Right?
Come on. Where
exactly.
Else?
I sat and ate that steak thing between those two places you just mentioned.
Did you really? Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know your malls. You know what's up.
I know my malls. Yeah. Right there around the corner from the Claire's Boutique and the Bath and Body Works.
That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. They also had one of those, what's the ones where they give you the beef rolls and the cheese collections and stuff?
Oh, not Pepperidge Farms. Something Farms,
something
though, right?
Farms. It's it is Farms.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Hickory Farms.
Hickory Farms. There we go.
I saw
the
one
Salvation
of those.
Farmy.
Yep. And then the occasional kiosk that for some reason is just loaded with calendars. It's just weird, man.
Oh yeah, go. That's actually where I got a calendar because here at my desk I need calendars of a particular size because I realized I have a need. I need a calendar with big spaces that I can write on.
Yeah.
Big days. These are things I don't like doing digitally. To-do lists and calendars I don't like doing digitally. I want physical, tangible stuff.
Oh, nice.
And so I care less about what's on what the theme of the calendar is. I care more about like what the thing is. So I've got this. This is my December calendar, and I've got it mounted on a piece of Lucite with three magnets on the top, so that I can stick it to a little magnet strip. A metal strip on my wall, and I can pull it off the wall. It's on that hard plastic, so I can just write something really quickly and put it back.
You are a calendar nerd. I love this.
I'm a calendar nerd, and this is the Bacon calendar, your Bacon Me Crazy 2023 wall calendar.
Calm down, Zoe. Calm down. We're not sending you one. Right. Calm down.
I should send her all my former days, like all the former months. This time it is the album covers and musicians redone with cut paper. So here is the Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah. These I'm probably going to keep.
Yeah, well, you got to hang on to those. Those are great.
Maybe I'll make a frame, 3D print a frame that has all of them in there, and I can just rotate out which ones.
So they're all that style? What other
style? They have David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Queen.
That's amazing.
I
want that myself.
It's really cool. So yeah, that calendar kiosk, I go there every year for that specific thing.
Huh. And they carry it every time, eh?
Well, right. They carry a calendar that has big enough. All I really care about primarily. Yeah. I only ever look at the calendar part of them because as soon as I get them, I cut them in half and I have all the days in a drawer behind me and I just pull out the day.
You got a system. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody should have
a system.
I
know what I need. Yeah. I know what I need.
I also like calendar non-digital, although it's a lot easier to remind people about things if you can share it around. But I like working on, I like if somebody says, hey, we need that day marked off, I really like writing that down. Mm-hmm. If it's a to-do though, yeah, I'm very digital with to-dos. I don't know if that's good or bad, but
Do you use things?
I use things. I've been using things forever. Yeah,
things is good.
At least a decade or more. I love that thing. Or I love things.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a great app. That's the app that I was using and then I stopped because it was a lot easier for me just to write it down on this sheet right here on my desk.
Nothing wrong with that. I remember though at the time when I got it, everybody was like, "Oh, it's so expensive though," because it's like $49 mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, "Yeah, that is kind of expensive." But you know what? They've never charged me for an update. I've never had to pay for a thing since.
Right. They've had upgrades come out, and it's like, here's another free upgrade. It's a new, you know, milestone version. But
yeah, they've never said, hey, another $50 to up or 25 if you already own it or any of that stuff. I just have the license. I have it. I've had it for, mm-hmm. it feels like more than 10 years, probably 15 years or something. And they just keep updating it, improving it. And I have it across my devices, and they never ask for update money on those. I love those guys.
I miss applications and tools that you would just buy,
right?
And not have to basically rent.
Yeah.
Adobe, Creative Cloud,
CC bullshit.
Exactly.
Well, I'm off that teat now.
I know you are.
For good or for ill, I'm off that teat.
I still need, there are many things that I use that require that teat.
Yeah.
Primarily with specific clients that need that teat.
Yeah,
they help pay for it, so I'm all right with
it. Yeah, as long as if you have revenue coming through on it, you're good.
That teat's all right with me.
Yeah.
They're
that,
paying for
that
teat.
Is
they pony
and,
up for the teat.
Bought and paid for. One more quick thing. I finally cracked open Fargo season 5.
Yeah.
And this is going to be my kind of thing I'm going to watch through the rest of the holiday time because that's just, I don't know. For whatever, I even associate Fargo, the show, and even the movie as kind of a Christmas time thing to watch.
For sure, the movie. Yeah. And it totally makes sense that kind of carries through on the series as well.
Yeah. And I love it. So I was very excited, but I've been letting them stack up because I wanted to have a bunch to binge. Finally cracked it yesterday. Already in love with it. Already great. Already all the things I like about Noah Hawley's take on all things Fargo. And everybody's great, dude. Freaking.
Is it weird seeing Juno Temple with an American accent?
Not at all, because she sold me at minute one. She sold me.
Okay, good.
She did like what's his name from the British Office, Tim from season 1.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, right. Of course. He did drop it. Yeah.
Can't think of his name. Why can't I think of his name? He's in the MCU. We all know him. He's Arthur Dent from the freaking Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
Anyway, that guy.
You're talking about Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman. Jeez Louises.
Yeah. Before Claire Gack said it, just to.
Sure. We got to give her credit when it's due.
Whatever. We don't.
But his season 1 portrayal was amazing also, and also dropped his accent. And I thought he was amazing, and he immediately sold me. She did the same, and she's great. Everybody's great so far. You only get a glimpse of John Hamm's business in episode 1. So I'm excited to keep going there. The two hitmen sent from the Kansas City people, perfectly cast. Everything's great so far. Can't say enough. Can't wait to keep going. Oh my gosh,
Fargo. Tell me Dave Foley plays a bad guy.
Oh my gosh, Dave Foley. He plays a family lawyer.
Okay.
With an eye patch for the family, and he dons a very Minnesota Fargo accent.
North Dakota
accent. He plays the family lawyer advisor for this billionaire lady who is the mother of Juno Temple's husband in the show.
Okay.
It's a kind of a complicated arrangement. Yeah. He's perfect.
Really? Okay, cool.
perfectly cast. You do not get distracted by him. You do not go, oh, look, everyone, it's Kids in the Hall, Dave Foley. It's like,
yeah,
perfect for him. He's weaselly and also lame at the same time and kind of amazing. Oh, shit, this is my jam.
Nice.
I love this stuff so much. Are you? Do you have a series right now where you feel this way, where you're like, oh, I can't wait to get in there? And
I mean, Fargo's the one I'm waiting to get into, and we might, you know, rip that package open early and not wait until January when all the episodes are out.
Yeah.
I just finished Good Omens season 2, and it took me going back to figure out what Carter was talking about, because I watched Good Omens season 1 back in 2019, and mm-hmm. I remembered your Tennant. I remember your Sheen. I remember Ham, and I didn't remember anybody else, like the characters that they played. I remember, you know, rough idea of the story.
Right.
And so it was like going back and refreshing my memory on season 1, like, oh, yeah, all these other actors changed roles around mm-hmm. and playing different people. But Good Omens season 2, guess what you also see in there? Mm. John Hamm's naked butt.
Ah, good. He seems to be in the mood lately to let everybody see
it. He does. Listen, if I looked like John Hamm, I'd show my butt every chance I could get.
Yeah. I like looking at John's ham, if you know what I'm saying.
John's ham. Yeah. I also caught up on the 3, yes, count them, 3 Doctor Who Christmas episodes.
Mm.
And I think the middle one was fantastic. I think the other 2 were good, but I do like the introduction of the new Doctor. I like how they brought him in.
Nice.
So,
controversial.
No spoilers,
everybody.
Claire. I'm not saying anymore.
The kid from Sex Education, right? That guy?
Exactly, yeah. Sex Education.
I like that guy. He's funny.
I was wondering how over the top he was going to play it, and I really like his delivery. It is not what I was expecting, so...
Mm. A lot of a-holes talking about that stuff this morning. They don't like that there's a black man in the role of...
Oh, that. Whatever. You know, those people probably don't even watch Doctor Who.
Yeah,
they probably complained when there was a female doctor.
Yep.
And
didn't watch that either. Probably had no...
And they didn't watch that either. And they're like, you know, it's a... I can't believe Doctor Who's going woke.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's just sort of a... it's just engagement farming. That's where we're at now.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
I can't take anyone serious anymore. Everyone's full of shit.
I can't either.
We're all full of shit, but that's good. I still haven't really watched much Doctor Who in the recent years, but I'm glad to hear landed well on you.
Yeah, you can. Those you can watch. They're standalone stories. You can watch those and enjoy them, I think.
Okay.
Especially, God, 2 was actually pretty freaking scary at times. It's weird. It's really weird.
Oh, it's scary. Okay. I
mean, the third one brings in Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And
Doctor.
he's an enemy. He's a character called the Toymaker.
Oh, fun.
Again, not a spoiler. Oh, look at Claire is like already. Oh, believe me, Zoe. I was. It was all over that music montage. No doubt about it. I'm not going to say what it is, but it was fantastic.
So, all right. Positive reviews for Fargo, positive reviews for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You got all you need, everyone.
Got all you need. So I think the next thing we caught up on, it has been playing catch up on new seasons of things. We finished Dark Winds, which was excellent.
Yeah, loved it.
We finished Physical, the Rose Byrne as a workout queen.
Oh, the 80s one, or set in the 80s.
The 80s one?
Yeah,
set in the 80s. We finished, there was one more, on the morning show season, newest season, whatever. I didn't even mention it. This weekend we went and saw Napoleon.
Oh, you saw
saw Napoleon Theaters, the Ridley Scott business with what's-his-face? Joaquin Phoenix as the tall Joaquin Phoenix as the little emperor.
How'd you feel about them attacking the pyramids when that never actually happened? Did that bother you?
Yeah. You know, because I was like, wait a minute, was it the pyramids? I thought that the rumor was that he shot the nose off the Sphinx. I thought that's what that was.
And even then, I think that was all apocryphal. I don't think any of that was historically accurate.
Right, exactly. It was, really, really enjoyed the film.
You did.
What's her face? Vanessa
Carlton.
Yeah. Doodly doo 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 doo. Vanessa, whatever her last name is, who played Margaret in the first season of The Crown with Claire Foy.
Oh, I like her a lot.
Yeah, she plays Josephine.
Okay.
And God, it's excellent. That's yeah, it was really, really good.
All right.
Vanessa Kirby, that's it. Thank you, Free Rangers. Yeah.
I like her a lot. She's great.
She is great. Yeah, she is so compelling to look at, too.
It's another freaking show I need to catch up on. I watched the first two seasons of The Crown and then just lost track, and I've heard it's excellent all the way through, and it just finished, so I probably ought to get in there and get that done.
Yeah, but they did, yeah, changing history, the whole thing did kind of bother me a little bit, especially there was no mention of that time that he spent in San Dimas at the water park and in the shopping mall. Like, they took all that stuff out.
Oh, didn't man, that's that. Important historical context.
It really is. Remember when he ate that big ice cream thing, the Biggie Piggy? And, no mention of that in the Ridley Scott film.
Jeez, Ridley Scott. Look, I understand playing a little fast and loose with the facts, but come on!
Right? Exactly.
All right, let's get Dunaway in here and make a mess of things right now.
Please do.
Here's this right here. Hey, look who it is. Brian Dunaway joining us all the way from South Carolina, as he does every Monday to play a little bit of the old half-asses. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. How are you, man?
Happy Monday. Yeah. Doing okay. The weather's pretty decent, and so I'm feeling all right.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah, let's try to do another week of living.
Let's Sounds do it. Good. Some news, a new week of living. Or a new week of dying.
Yeah.
That's the old phrase we remember.
Get busy from living this new week.
Get busy living.
Yep.
That's right.
Don't forget. Hey, Brian, why don't you explain to us today what's at stake, who might win what, and how this works?
Ooh, steak.
Okay. Welcome to the morning. Half-Ass is a trivia game where I'm going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of them are correct, and three of them are like that scene in Napoleon where Napoleon shoots the pyramids of Giza. Totally bullshit. If you can provide, depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. If you get any guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right gets you a point. Two right gets you 3 points. Three right gets you 5 points. And the player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And contestants will be pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you are playing for Ian Toothman in Magnolia, Delaware.
Toothman.
Toothman. Right. Wouldn't it be great if he was a dentist? Would that be perfect?
At night, during the day, Phil does fillings and just, you know, checkups and stuff. But at night, he becomes Toothman.
Exactly. Burglars, prepare to get flossed.
I'm into it. I like it.
And then, Brian, you're going to be playing for Hello Kitty Pez. That's the name in New Orleans, Louisiana.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Hello Kitty Pez.
I love it. Look, if you're gonna get a
is
Pez,
it one of those giant Pezzes or is it just normal size Pez?
Oh, I don't know. Where do you even get the big ones anymore? I think those are kind of gone.
You
can't buy big ones.
I just saw one today.
Oh, second
Charles. Did you really saw the giant size Pez today?
Today?
Well, you're not talking about the massive looking one, like the regular full size one.
Is that what you mean, or like the big jumbo one, like the oversized one?
The one that so we've got to define not human size, but larger than standard. How's that?
Okay,
like. This size?
Double size, like a double XL Pez.
Okay, gotcha. So that one's normal, right, Brian? That's a normal
Pez. This is a normal Boba Fett Pez.
Okay, so it's like a G.I. Joe doll, like 12-inch Pez dispenser. I don't think you can get those anymore. I think those are
all 12 inches.
All 12 inches, baby. All right, well, this sounds great. Let's play for these fine people.
And, sounds good. By the way, we'll talk about the prizes that they're going to win at the end because, you know, they're not here to get excited and salivate about them.
That's true.
All right. Your first question. Sports. The world of sports.
Sweet.
Let's just get this. Let's rip this Band-Aid off. And get
only
this
sports out of here. I know are the ones that Goofy taught me.
Oh. Wait a minute.
What about Dorf? Did you learn about sports from Dorf as well?
Only golf.
No, Dorf on golf. You can't do that. You'll hurt your knees.
That's totally true. Yeah. By the way, it came up earlier. Do you have the Sucker Punch soundtrack on vinyl?
On vinyl, no.
No.
On CD, yes.
Oh, okay. We know where you can get it.
Yeah, good news. They have it at 2nd and Charles, wherever your closest location is.
2nd and Charles.
Yeah.
All right. Sports and religion. Let's combine those two into one question. Which of these athletes are ordained as ministers?
All right.
So which of these athletes could marry you if you needed them to? All right. Your choices are.
All right.
What is athlete?
What is athlete? Like, you know, like professional sportsman. Like that.
Sorry, do you want me to add an extra syllable and say athlete?
Athlete.
Because there's no extra vowel in the middle of the, between the TH and the L. I'm just going to
Athletes.
Athlete's foot.
Yeah. Sure. Your choices are Randy Moss, Daryl Strawberry, Willie Mays, Clyde Drexler, Meadowlark Lemon, and Reggie White. Which of these are...
Meadowlark Lemon. I've always just liked saying that. Meadowlark Lemon.
It's such a... How the hell does anyone know this? Unless they married you.
This is your throwaway question to just see if you can randomly get some points.
All right, really. I'm taking two. I don't feel good about three.
Scott's got two. Yeah. Brian's
I'm taking
got one.
One because there's only one on this list that there's only one that I've actually ever seen play. So there we go. That's my
All right.
Fair enough. The only one that you guys, as a combo, as a team, got right is Meadowlark Lemon. Our two fruits, Daryl Strawberry and Meadowlark Lemon, both are ordained as ministers. And then Reggie White is also our only color.
Strawberry, lemon, white. Oh, that's
right.
Interesting.
Strawberry, lemon, and white. Exactly. Yeah. Like your three paint styles you can get at the local Lowe's.
Mm. It sounds like like a dollar store version of the ice cream that's supposed to be chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla, but this one comes with these flavors.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. All right, well, neither of us gained anything on that one. That's
all right. Let's get that out of the way. How about one that I can verify because I was there this last weekend? IKEA products. Which of these are names of actual IKEA products? Skanka, Kerbis, Billy, Flunnel, Boomerang, and Falsknam.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, and you give me trouble about at because I didn't go at the athlete. You're going to give me, whatever.
Yes, I'm going to give you, because this is a Swedish word. Athlete's an English word, and you live in America.
That's right.
What did you say it was?
Do you want the words again? You want all these
words?
Falsknam.
Falsknam.
Hey, Dunaway, what's your heritage? Do you know? Like, who came here and from what country? Do you know that stuff? Like, you French Cajun?
I'm American.
You are now, but you know what I mean? Like,
I'm, according to my mom who went and did that 23andMe, I'm mostly British. But my dad, I know, has got a lot of Irish in him. So.
Okay.
But don't
Irish,
we all?
British. All right. So you're closer to Ibbot on that end then, because I think Brian, you got a lot of British heritage.
There's a lot of Scotch Irish people in this area. Also,
there's a lot of
Native
Scotch
American.
Right now.
I got Native American in me.
Yeah. I've got the reason I asked is mine's all Swedish pretty much on both sides. And you'd think I'd know more about this shit, and I don't. I know nothing about any of this. So I feel like I'm unfair to my hair, or not unfair. I have not honored my heritage by learning more about IKEA names than I know.
Right.
All right, hurry and choose yours. There you go.
There we go. Now he's locked in. Okay, good. Yeah, I was hoping you'd do that before you saw what Henrik Swenson said in the chat room, because that's a really funny joke.
Well, I don't have the chat room pulled up, see it even if I did.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Your answers are, there's a Billy the Bookcase, which, if you know your Jonathan Colton IKEA song, then you know Billy the Bookcase says hello.
I almost did that one. That seemed so stupid that it had to be right.
Yeah.
Skanka, which neither of you guessed, is cookware.
Damn it.
Did it reveal the answers? There we go. Or did it?
Nope. There it is.
There we go. Now it revealed the answers.
Wow.
The other one is Boomerang.
I only got it wrong.
This is a clothes hanger. The Boomerang clothes hanger.
Yeah, I got Billy.
Stupid.
I got Billy. I chose that Falsknam thing. So what did he say in the chat that it was? Hold on.
Falsknam means a fake name in
Swedish.
False. false name.
I'm a terrible Swedish terrible heritage Swede. Person. Yeah,
horrible
that's
Swede
awful.
Is what you are.
I apologize to the
All
Swedish.
Right, well, let's go to something that I think you guys should know about, which is movies, especially movies that feature Sean Connery.
Ooh,
we watched Sean quite Connery. A few on FilmSack. Which of these actors appeared in a movie with Sean Connery? Your choices are Vincent Price, Roger Moore, Sally Field, Ving Rhames, Jack Nicholson, and Meg Ryan. Three of those people appeared in a film with Sean Connery. Three of them did not.
Shit. Oh my gosh, dude.
This one seems so stupid. I'm going to go with that one.
Are you doing one or more? You can do more than one, or what are you going to do there?
I'm not telling you that, punk.
I'm doing
I'll
one.
I'll tell you, I do two. I'm doing two. How's that?
One because I just.
I will tell you that.
I like my chances better.
Okay. Well, you both did pick the same one. And do you know the movie that he was in with Ving Rhames?
No.
Also featured Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, where her butt's in the air and she's sliding underneath the thing. I remember that one. Entrapment? Is that right? We watched Entrapment.
It's called Entrapment. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He was also in The Presidio with Meg Ryan.
Right.
And he was in The Princess
Dang
and
it.
The Cobbler with Vincent Price. Scott going with one answer.
Good job,
won him
Scott.
The game
one
with one point.
Woo!
A 1 point win.
Oh, but, man.
I did it for Tooth
I
Man.
I just.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
You did
I
what?
Just knew Roger Moore. That is just so stupid that it had to be something that was true.
Yeah. I kind of was tempted on that one. And the reason I only went with one, because I just, every time I do two, one of them's going to be wrong. Because these were all hard today. Nobody knows this shit.
Well, yeah. I feel like Roger Moore and Sean Connery weren't in the same movie. They're obviously, everybody wants to connect them with the James Bond thing. But I feel like Roger Moore was in a movie with, was it Pierce Brosnan or was it Mars Attacks? Was Roger Moore in Mars Attacks?
Oh,
interesting.
Maybe. That's
it was
interesting.
Something that had two Bond actors together in it. And it wasn't Connery and Moore, but it was Moore and somebody.
Interesting. I know. Whenever you bring up Roger Moore and
happening.
You think of stuff that isn't Bond, all I think about is Roger Moore and Jean-Claude Van Damme in Gold. What is that called? The Golden...
Goldfinger, no
stupid name. I can't remember the gold something, and it's
the golden gun.
That's all I ever think about. Like in my mind, Roger Moore did James Bond, and then that one Van Damme movie. And that's all I can think of.
Huh.
So I don't know if they've ever worked together.
Well, there was a movie TV's Travis says The Quest.
The Quest, that's it, not golden
that's it.
Something.
Yeah, that's the gold. That's the big giant gold thing we made fun of.
That's what it was, though. Yeah, in that movie, there was a big golden something they were all trying to get.
Well, there was a movie with where Roger Moore plays a Q-like character where he's holding a cat. I'm trying to think if it's Spice World, maybe. And there's also another cameo of a Bond in that one. I know, I should know better, right?
You're the only one, I think, that would know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen Spice World. We got to get that on FilmSack.
We got to get it for FilmSack. It's horror bad, but horror good.
Let's make it happen.
Why not? I'm watching the Beach Blanket Bingo, and
That's
Scott's
right.
watching. What'd you agree
what
to?
What did I pick? I forgot. It was something I don't
too.
Like at all.
Gidget?
Meg. I freaking hate the Meg.
Oh, the Meg.
The Meg. Yes.
Hated it. I really, truly, genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, hated that movie. I really
disliked
it.
I'm taking Beach Blanket Bingo so we can see the Meg people. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Brian, for that. So who won what, Brian? We got winners.
Congratulations going out to Ian Toothman. You're getting a copy of Curse of the Dead Gods and Eternal Threads on Steam. But Hello Kitty Pez in New Orleans, you're getting a copy of Honey, I Joined a Cult. On Steam.
Ooh.
Also a good game.
Ooh, that's also a good one.
Yeah,
fun
there's
games
no
for both of you.
No losers here today.
Congratulations.
That's right.
You're a winner.
One of you is more of a winner, but both of you got great games, and we love doing this for you guys. So if you're somebody out there who is a non-live person on a Monday and you want to participate
in
this contest.
Don't tell dead people to call in. Jeez, Scott.
Well, look, it's okay to vote if you're dead. Get on the website over there, frogpants.com/TMS, and you'll find a link to do this. Okay? We want you.
Yeah.
Brian Dunaway.
So if you've been unalived, do it now.
Yeah, do it now. It's been a blast hanging out with you. Do you got any cool plans this week? You can do anything fun before we see you on Wednesday?
Yeah, I've got Alex Kidd for my Sega Master System coming today. I'm pretty stoked about that. Pop up my Sega Master System again.
Yep, we got a whole Play Retro coming this Friday, dealing all things Alex Kidd.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I do have a. I'm doing Laserdisc parties now because on the Discord server because my friend brought me a Laserdisc player.
Oh, nice.
Look at you.
So 30 minutes into the stream, you have to pause everything and say, all right, let me flip over the movie.
Incorrect. It is a Sony flipper. It flips. Yeah.
All right, what if it's on multiple discs?
Yeah, then what?
Well, then we'll just deal with that when we have to. If it geez, man, rain on my parade.
All right, well, have fun with your old-ass laser disc, and we'll see you soon. Kiss our butts. All right, there he goes. That was fun. Guys, we have time for a little bit of news.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring it to you now. Here we go.
I don't watch the news.
It's the news brought to you by...
I hear there's a new word on the street with Greg Street and Scott Johnson tomorrow. Scott, tell me, is that true?
It is true. And tomorrow we're going to record it live. It'll be right here at frogpants.tv, either Twitch or the YouTube link. You'll find both those there when you go there. And it'll be at noon Mountain, which is 1 p.m. Central, which is where Greg is. Anyway, we're going to have a couple more staff members from his brand new video game company on. And we're going to talk about prototyping. And the stage that is prototyping for something like an MMO, like they're building. So come and find out. Some of the live folks that'll be there, we may take some of your live questions. We'll definitely have some questions before that. But we're all about what it takes to prototype for a game as big as a full-blown MMO. Because that's the stage they're in right now. And they want to talk about it. So check that out tomorrow. You can also check it out on the podcast as well. You can find all the details at frogpants.com/street today. Okay. A BBC presenter. These are the British Broadcasting Company presenters.
Sure.
Or corporate. What are they? Company.
Just saw four of those presenters celebrating the 40th anniversary of the BBC or whatever they were celebrating. 40?
Sure.
It's got to be more than that.
Oh, it's got to be way more than that, right?
Gotta yeah, like... but it was something for the holiday British Bake Off, and it was... the four presenters competing on that.
Oh, fun. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're baking.
They're making the food. It's only one episode. It's just, they do this every Christmas. They do a celebrity edition, and then they do for New Year's a let's bring four players back that people seem to really like.
I don't know why I didn't know that. It sounds like fun.
It's totally fun. And they brought back Lottie the Hottie from, ooh, I can't remember what season she was in.
Yeah, you like Lottie the Hottie.
I do like Lottie the Hottie.
Yeah.
In her eyes. I don't know what she does makeup wise, but man, she is a master of eye makeup. Yep. And her baking's good, but her eye makeup is on point.
Yeah, you might call it eye bake up.
I get it.
Yeah, you get
it. I'm just kidding. I get it. All right, anyway. BBC presenter. Okay,
yeah,
yes.
Check this out. Has apologized after giving viewers the middle finger in a news broadcast.
Oh, no.
I'm sure that Zoe knows about this story because it was all over Britain when it happened, but we're just getting to it now. BBC presenters apologize after that. Miriam Moshiri, a chief presenter on the BBC News Channel, was seen to make an obscene gesture after a countdown to start of the show, or for the start of the show. She quickly realized. I've released the problem.
Released.
She was live on the air and reverted to normal. This is like what Bush, remember Bush did this once before a press conference?
Yeah, there's that great video of him like giving a...
Yeah.
Given the finger to the camera, yeah.
I have to say this. At the time, I thought that made politicians slightly cooler because I had an attitude.
Yeah, a little
about
bit more
that.
Human, right?
Yeah, because I was like, I'm
looking at the photo of Miriam Moshiri giving the finger, and that's, you know, it's kind of cute. The face that she's making is even better that goes along with it.
It's adorable. Here, Chad, I'll show you what it looks like so you can. Have this burned into your brain. Oh, let me kill the feud background. There it is. Look at her there. She's like, oh, big old birdie bird. Yeah. I mean, when you got cameras and recording and stuff going on around you, you usually know not to make any sudden moves or pick a nose or do anything stupid.
Sure. But something like that, you know, maybe we could all get over the middle finger.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, it's really, it's just a finger. And that finger is visible all the rest of the time, too, people.
She also I spilled a little bit of this tea on my face. Who does that? That's like a lateral spill. I didn't even spill down. I spilled sideways. Like a dumbass.
Out.
Anyway, she did a 70s bird. That's an important thing to mention.
Oh yes, right. The closed fist raised as opposed to the you know the 80s bird where you've got the
80s bird,
the knuckles, bird. The knuckles offering a protection, a vanguard, if
that's
you
right.
will.
That's right.
In front of the finger.
Right. And if you really pull those knuckles down, I mean you can get that. Ooh, is a that's offensive yeah. as hell right there. Look at that thing.
Yeah, that is. That is a monster bird right
we
there.
We can't allow this, but if we're just like
we can't allow this.
We can't have that in today's modern society. Are you kidding me? Anyway, she quickly realized she was on the air and reverted to normal. The incident was flagged by the clean feed at the TV Room account on Twitter/X. It wrote, "Been a while since the middle finger gesture made it on its way to the BBC News." Responding, Mershiri said she had been having a private joke. My guess is her and the cameraman having a little moment there.
Uh-huh.
It's fine. They're friends.
Yeah. Yeah, no big exactly. deal.
Presenter said, "Hey, I'm so sorry about this. I was having a private joke with the team in the gallery, pretending to count down as the director was counting me down from 10 to 0, including the finger to show the number. When we got to number 1, I turned the finger around as a joke and did not realize that would be caught on camera. It was a private joke with the team, and I'm so sorry it went out on air." That's fine. You're fine.
I think it's fine. And then there's so much stuff that would just be. There's so many bigger problems in the world. Let's get over the word shit. Let's get over the middle finger. Let's mm-hmm. you know.
It's time. It's time has come.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No more getting hung up on stupid stuff, people.
Right. Exactly.
Let's see. I'll do this one more real quick here. A lost tomato was found aboard the International Space Station after 8 months of being
We have
there.
To go back, Kate.
We got to go back for the tomato.
I'm going back for the tomato.
Members of the International Space Station crew said astronaut Frank Rubio has now been cleared of allegations he ate one of the first tomatoes harvested in space. He never did. He said he didn't. No one believed him.
Cleared of allegations.
Yeah. Like hardcore allegations. Astronaut Jasmine Mogbelli said during a live stream event celebrating the 25th anniversary of the station that the remains of a tiny tomato had been found months later, 8 months to be exact, after being replaced or misplaced by Rubio. Quote, "Our good friend Frank Rubio, who headed home already, has been blamed for quite a while for eating the tomato, but we can exonerate him now. We found it." He returned to Earth in September and has been the target of joking accusations for months that he ate the space-grown fruit.
It's really funny. So, like, all this time, like, they lost the tomato and they just blamed this poor astronaut.
This poor guy. You
know, jokingly blamed this poor astronaut.
Yeah, he's at home trying to acclimate to his gravity again, just getting all accused. He says, "I spent so many hours looking for that thing," he said during an ISS live stream. "I'm sure desiccated yeah. tomato will show up at some point and vindicate me years in the future." He did not reveal where the tomato was found or what its condition was, but Rubio had earlier predicted it would be in a state of advanced decay due to the humidity aboard the station. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the station was humid. I guess that makes sense.
I didn't know that either, but I guess they do that because that would be in the greenhouse.
Oh, right.
So that would be in the, you know, the area where they're trying to grow stuff and yeah.
If you brought some of that home, imagine how much money you could get for ISS-grown food. You know what I mean?
It feels like such an easy thing to fake, to promote falsely. Like, you know, it's like the chips of the Berlin Wall. Mm. Like, people are selling those, you know, left and right, and you wonder, well, could this just be a chunk of concrete?
Yeah.
Came from the sidewalk in front of their house.
Yeah.
It's like, and especially something that can decay like vegetables, you'd have to encase that thing in resin and have like a NASA certificate. Even then, I don't know if I'd believe it, right?
Yeah, even then you could still fake that pretty good. Yeah. I just finished a book that, a couple months ago, but it was a book about a guy whose dad was a serial killer. And because he was so shunned by society, because his dad was so infamous and everyone treated him like he was just as bad, mm-hmm. he decided he was going to make money off his dad's killings. So what he would do is he would sell, because the guy, the killer is called the handyman because he was a guy that worked with tools a lot. And sure. So the son would go to like these garage sales and find old tools, rusty old uh-huh. tools,
and then claim sell that them as they were legit.
Yeah, and he would make thousands on eBay with it. Just constantly making money.
Wow.
And I don't know why that really stuck out to me. I went, I'll bet there's a lot more of that going on than people think.
Yeah, probably. Fictional book, right?
Oh, yeah, totally fictional.
Yeah.
But still, it felt, you know, felt real to me. It was real to me, damn it.
It's real to me.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll have some time with Bobby, which, you know, we've missed him. He was gone a couple of weeks ago, so we had to do other stuff. But having him back,
science marches on too. We can't. No, the world doesn't stop for Bobby.
That's true.
Science world doesn't stop.
I heard earlier in the chat that he was maybe stuck at a post office. I hope he's away.
Oh
from
no!
Now. So we'll find out, I guess, the hard way.
We're going to get the science of stamps, apparently.
Yeah. He said in the chat, he says, I am determined to be back for science. So we'll see. Right. Anyway, we'll come back and check that out with us and have your greatest fears realized. After Brian plays a song, here to break things up. Brian, what did you bring?
Yeah, this is, friend of the show. We heard from him earlier. He contributed information about the source of the name Second and Charles. It's Shane Maddox, and listen to him sing the song and twirl, because he says, hello, cover indie master. It's that time again to announce that my band Else has new music to share. Seven So Few is an EP that includes three new songs from our Milwaukee, Madison-based hard rock band. I know you think I only like to sing sad songs, but hopefully you'll be okay with one of these. They're sad. No, I'm kidding. They're great. Here's a blurb. Seven Seas, Seven Sins, Seven So Few. After completing their experimental acoustic album Here Waiting in late 2021, the band excitedly returned to their hard rock and progressive roots to begin working on their next project. You can find their music online. Go check it out at your favorite streaming service. Big thanks to Shane for sending this in. Here is the song More to See from Seven So Few.
Hide apart with the warning now. Left the flow. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
They wanted to be visited by a major member of the human race, and to have an equivalent member of theirs visit us.
Talk to the Pope. He knows everything.
And we return. Tell me who that was. Well, we know who it was, but tell me why that song's cool.
It's cool because it's Shane Maddox and his band Else. That one from their brand new EP called Seven So Few. That is the song called More to See.
You know, I love... So Claire's very anti-Pope. We knew that.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But yeah. I love that I can play a thing like this.
Talk to the Pope. He knows everything.
Just a random clip that doesn't actually claim... It's obviously meant to be played ironically. And she's still... has to like make a stance in the chat. He knows F all, she says.
Right.
Well, all right. Yeah. It's not, we're not making the statement, Claire. All
yeah.
Right.
It's no, we're not promoting the Pope. We're just,
no,
just talking about the Pope.
We're promoting the Pope. I don't know what we're doing. All right. We're going to get, Bobby in.
Yeah.
That's happening. Yeah, he's back. He made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. We'll see what he was up to at the post office in a minute. We'll hold him to the fire. See what he
Feet
says.
Feet to the fire.
Feet to the fire.
There's still
what?
Some.
Wrong one.
Science.
There it is.
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
He's also was, anyway, stuck at the freaking place where you take your mail. What was that for? What's going on? You trying to get last minute gifts in the mail, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there was
Christmas
a huge
cards.
Long line because everybody's doing the same thing. But
sure.
I just went to the self... No one goes to the self-service kiosk
yeah.
for some reason.
Mm. Yeah, the self-service queue is where it's at. I'm with you 100%.
I don't know if I've ever... How does that work? You just go and put stamps on things and shove them in a hole? I mean, it's that
yeah,
simple?
Yeah, you walk up to the machine and you say, I'm here to mail stuff.
And that's it.
And... And then you follow all the prompts on the screen, and it prints out the postage, and you stick it on and put it in a hole in the wall, and you're mm-hmm. good to go.
That actually seems all right. I would do that. No problem. Oh, good. Well, you made it. You got everything out. Congratulations.
I'm here.
Your holidays.
It was close, actually, because, I don't know, it was like a nightmare there. There were people were yelling at each other.
Oh, no, really? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Don't do that, people. So. We heard a couple fighting in the mall yesterday. And that annoyed me because I'm just like, come on, dude, it's the holidays. But for the most part, people seem to be pretty cheery and nice to each other and lots of like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step in your way. It's like, oh, no problem, we're all good. You know, like lots of nice interactions. But this one couple, dude, peck, 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 they look like they were going to go home and get divorced. And that never makes me happy. But look, if you're going to tell me there's a fight at a post office, I believe you. That's where they happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That place is bad.
It started from one guy just... He was carrying boxes in a pile. It was like a cartoon. He was carrying boxes in a pile that was so tall he couldn't, like his face.
See around
couldn't
it?
See in front of him.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
That's great.
So then he ran into one of those metal benches on the side of the, like hit his shins. And then he blurted out a curse word. And then someone was there next to him with a kid and got mad at him about that. And then it was just everybody started getting mad at each other.
Wow. Did you feel like you were close to having to intervene or, you know, stand up for anything?
Oh, I would not.
You weren't going to get involved.
Intervener, Scott.
Yeah. You're not an intervener.
Not an intervener.
That sounds like intervener.
I'm not an intervener.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to have you here. We have not had our science thing for a while. You were in Bermuda or something.
I was in the Bahamas.
Bahamas, sorry. Bahamas. You were in the Bahamas, one of the B words, and you were like, I don't know what you were doing in the Bahamas.
There was a wedding. It was a wedding on a Disney cruise. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I wasn't sure why you were gone, but it sounded like fun, and we missed you, though, and we had no science. So what are we supposed to do without science?
I had lots of science there, but I couldn't share it with you because I didn't pay for enough data.
Oh, well, that'll happen on those ships. Also, I paid for enough data, and it sucked ass. It was terrible.
It's very expensive. Yeah, it's not
super
great either.
Slow,
I did pay for it one day to get some stuff, and it was very expensive for even the one day, and it was not what was advertised.
Yeah, cruise data, terrible, terrible investment, everybody. Don't do it. If you can, just wait till you get to ports. They have usually LTE or 5E or something if you have a decent network, and you'll
and
be
just
fine.
Enjoy being unplugged.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Take it as an adventure to be shared in the moment.
Yeah, we just thought it would help us if when we split up on different parts of the boat that Kim could get me or I could get her easily, and it never worked right.
Like Disney has this great app that you share. You can use it to link up with people on the ship if you have their like app, each other's ID on the app, and you can text each other for free. Like it's a free service. So
right. Yeah, and there's no, you know, don't forget, you're out in the middle of the ocean. There are no cell towers in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, they use satellite internet.
Yeah, and even that, it ain't that Elon Musk fancy stuff that I hear is actually okay.
Well, the big problem is you got thousands of people all trying to use the same, like.
Yeah, yeah, that's internet. Like being in a concert and thinking you're going to have good LTE at a concert.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're not going to.
Let me post this on Instagram. Why isn't it connecting?
So are you telling me, Scott, that the cruise that you went on, they didn't have like a messaging app that you could use?
If they did, we were unaware of it. They may have, like as you were saying it, I went, oh, did we just forget to check or did we not ask the right questions? It's entirely possible we did.
I asked because I'm going, we already booked a cruise on the same ship that you two went on to the same place.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, I'm going to try. We're going to try to think of anything I may have left or altered that you could check.
Can you go to stateroom 8531?
You didn't take only your memories and leave only your footprints, Scott?
No, I think I may have messed with something, and I've got to remember what, though. Because there is something, I have a tendency to...
You're going to end up in whatever stateroom he was in. There's no towel. Yeah.
I sometimes move stuff around on purpose in public places to see if it changes next time I go there.
Yeah.
So I'll have to think about that. But that's cool, dude. That was a great ship. It was like brand. It was only 2 months old when we took the cruise. It was really modern, super fancy, and they did a great. It was great. It was really good. I could even eat those French desserts they had because they weren't full of sugar. They were like, you know, the way the French people do it, they don't sugar them up like we do. Mm. It was really good.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, well, it's good to have you here. Let's talk about some science. What'd you bring in your big fat bag of science?
Have you ever been to a coffee shop? I'm sure you have. but when you're at the coffee shop, have you ever seen the barista? Before they put the beans in the grinder, they spritz it with some water first?
No. Hmm. Have you, Brian? Have you noticed that?
No, but I do. When I do the French press, I wet the grounds before I run the water through, and I wonder if that's what you're going to talk about. Why we do that.
Yeah, why do we do that?
Well, it's specifically before you grind them, so I don't know why.
Before you grind them, okay.
Yeah, you spritz the beans before you grind them, and especially useful when you're making espresso. And I used to see people do that, and I'd heard coffee nerds talk about doing that. And I'm a big coffee fan as well, but I always thought, that sounds like a bunch of nonsense. My cynical science brain was like, that sounds like nonsense. Why would that matter? It's so little water, too. Like, some people will spritz it, and other people will take, like, the end of a teaspoon from your, you know, from your cabinet drawer and just let one drop of water fall into it and then stir it around.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And I'm like, that sounds like, what are you doing? But it turns out some research was done and it actually does help to do that before you grind the coffee. It increases the yield of the grind.
Oh.
And it improves the flavor of the coffee afterwards.
Mm.
I do notice that when I grind the beans at home, God, sounds like a euphemism, that as soon as I pull the, I almost made a spit take there with Bobby.
Mm-hmm,
it
was, mm-hmm.
That when I pull out the little plastic drawer with all the grounds in it, like the static that's built up from grinding the beans usually sends a ton of of grounds just in the air and all over the countertop. So like spritzing with water for that reason, and that reason alone, sounds like a great
reason. You hit upon exactly the reason why this technique is used by baristas. It's actually has a name. It's called the Ross droplet technique. I guess some dude named Ross put one drop of water into his beans every time you ground them.
Really? Okay.
Wow. Yeah. So, and the research was done by, it was a team up by a computational materials chemist named Christopher Hendon, who teamed up with a volcanologist of all people, a volcano scientist. Joseph Dufek to figure this out. And it's not as weird of a team up as you think, especially when you realize what you said, Brian, which is that this is all has to do with static electricity, because volcanologists know very well that volcano eruptions with the giant plumes of smoke, they're made up of tiny little particles that generate tons of static electricity. And that's really? Why, yeah, that's why you will often see lightning storms in the plumes of a volcano that's erupting.
I didn't know that. That's I always wondered really that because cool. You see pictures of that all the time, and I'm like, is this just insult to injury? Like ancients would have seen it as God's wrath or whatever.
Exactly. Like, man. Hey, sorry about the volcano, and here's some lightning.
Yeah, that's intense. Right? Yeah.
Claire's asking, can you actually taste the difference? I said it improves the flavor of the coffee. I'm going to get there, and yes, you can. They tested it out, and there's a good reason why. So let me explain. So the static electricity for the coffee grinding, the reason, Hendon, the material scientist, he wanted to investigate how static electricity plays a role in the final product of coffee grinding, had a suspicion that this might have something to do with it. Coffee aficionados and fans and everything who grind their own coffee have been saying for a long time that adding a little bit of water reduces the static. And that's why they did it, is because you can see all these videos of people who will spritz their beans before they put it through the coffee grinder. There's a noticeable, if you don't do that, you end up with like tons of coffee grounds stuck to the side of the grinder.
Yes, yes.
And so they always said, well, if you're going to, these people, super fans of coffee, they would say, well, you actually lose a part of a couple tenths of an ounce of the coffee from that. Oh, and sure. You're trying to measure out your coffee beans for like a perfect cup, you know. And so they would say, well, if you do this, you get almost all of the coffee grounds out very easily. It doesn't stick. And so people had noticed that, and they wanted to investigate. And so there's plausibility to it, first of all. One of the reasons why this works is that, espresso in particular requires a very fine grind, right? Mm-hmm. You have to grind those coffee beans up into almost a powder.
Yeah.
And what happens is the fine grinding of the beans creates a ton of static electricity. It's called the triboelectric effect. It's the parallel where volcanoes comes in, because it's the same thing going on in plumes of ash, as I explained. The tiny particles of coffee, they all bump into each other in the grinder. They're being ground up and bumping into each other very, very fast. And it creates, as they're bumping into each other, they exchange electrons, which is how static electricity is formed. Like when you rub a balloon on your head, which it's actually exchanging electrons with your hair, and that's how it forms static electricity. There's a charge buildup in the balloon and in your hair afterwards because of that exchange. So the same thing happens in a grinder, and all these particles of coffee now are electrically charged, and a bunch of the negatively charged ones will clump together, and a bunch of the positively charged ones will clump together and create these dense, it's just all these different clumps that are clumping together, and it's not a very evenly distributed density of the grounds. Right? And so when you push water through it, it doesn't go through evenly, and there might actually be chunks of it, because they're clumped together, that don't get very much water through it at all. And so the distribution's not as even. And then also you can see obviously why the clinging would happen on the side of the thing, because they're all totally statically charged.
Yeah, because same thing, right? Like I pull it open, the grounds fly out, the statically charged ones, but the other ones that stick to the side, then I have to get something out to brush those out. And guess what? It sticks to whatever I use to brush those out. So yeah, totally using this technique. Don't know why I didn't think of it before, but that's brilliant.
So yeah, you use a little... there's two ways to do it. If you have a little spray bottle, like one of those tiny ones.
Yeah, like a little atomizer.
Yeah, you can do just one spritz. It doesn't take much at all. Literally, those people who use a drop of water, that works too. And it just increases the humidity inside the grinder. And the reason that's helpful is because the moisture in the air, the water droplets from the humidity in the grinder actually absorb some of those electrons and help to redistribute them evenly inside the environment, and so static electricity doesn't have as much of a chance to build up.
Okay. Well, here's a question for you. If somebody has an industrial size professional grinder and they're outside, okay, and they're doing this in their backyard, and it's a big one, it's the kind you use in a big kitchen, I don't know, for like a commercial use, and you're out there doing it in the open air and you're not adding, and you're in a dry climate, you're here in, let's say you're in Utah or Colorado, and you're not adding any of this water to it, do you run the risk of a lightning strike hitting you in the way that the volcano thing did?
Many a barista in training have died that way.
Oh, man. That's how you learn, though. That's how you learn. Exactly. But that wouldn't do that, right? We're not talking about those levels of...
You probably get the static shock, though, potentially.
Maybe. That's true, yeah.
Well, maybe not. I don't know, because it's the individual grounds that are being charged, sure. Right?
That's
it's
right,
maybe
not the machine itself. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because in my head, I'm picturing these electrified little beans. They're not even in ground form yet, right? They're just going and hurry up and get water on those things. But it sounds like it's not nearly that risky. It's probably just...
No, I don't think so. No. I think you're safe.
You might have some stuff fly out in the kitchen. You might have a little cleanup to do or whatever.
Yeah, just wear some goggles in case the beans fly out.
Isn't it funny, though? We have so many things as humans where we'll do a thing because... Like, they've probably been doing this for centuries, right?
Right.
Because it, for whatever reason, got passed down that, yes, this is the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. However you describe the reasons, maybe they're different than the scientific ones you brought today. But we do these things in these traditions, and they end up having this scientific basis to them. And we didn't even know we were adhering to
some... People started doing it because it worked without knowing the science behind why it worked. And so they just started doing it, and then they figured out, oh, here's why it works, and here's why it helps.
Yeah, I love
that. Some of my favorite science to read about and to talk about on our show and everything is things that we've taken for granted but have never been experimentally shown, and that's what is going on here. So going back to what was mentioned earlier about the flavor, the reason that they show that it can improve the flavors because and consistency of flavor, by the way, that's one of the big things is consistent flavor. Is that when the grounds go through it, some of it clumps up and it doesn't evenly distribute through the puck. They call it the puck of grounds. Mm. And so a lot of there are like 2,000 different chemical compounds in a cup of coffee, and they're all coming from those ground up beans. And if you're not evenly pushing the water through it, you're not necessarily getting them all or in even distribution, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what they are saying could be used. That they noticed some other things as well as a result of their experimentation. They noticed that light roasted beans were less likely had less of a static charge than dark roasted beans, and that makes sense if you think about it. The reason a dark roast is a dark roast is because it's been roasted for longer. They're the same beans, or they can be the same beans. They've just been roasted for longer, and so they're drier. A light roasted bean has already some small amount of moisture in the bean itself. You'd notice less of this static problem with those types of beans. They're one of the ways they try to sell this to this research. You know, you always have to justify your research if you want to get funding. the coffee association industry, I don't know what they're called, but they have a standard for making espresso. And it's like these narrow ranges of temperatures and a certain pressure that the water is supposed to get pushed through the grounds and everything. But a lot of baristas and a lot of different coffee places, they don't follow this. There's not like a coffee police that requires you to use these standards. So a lot of places don't follow the standards, and they're saying that this kind of lends credence to the idea that these standards actually matter And there are measurable ways that setting standards for making this can actually create a consistent from place to place and from coffee shop to coffee shop. You can get a consistent brew if because they're figuring out the science of why these different techniques work. You know?
Do you know, do we have an answer as to why Starbucks burns all their shit? Why do they burn their beans? What's that about?
There's just too hot water, I think.
Is that what's going on? Is that
what it is? Their water is just too hot.
Their electrons are out of control over there. Get your shit together, stupid place. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I love this kind of crap. I love everyday science, you know? Like something, why does that thing do the thing it does right over there? I don't know. Let's figure it out. That's way fun. So having you here and talking about this stuff is always good. Tell me what you're talking about on your show right now, All Around Science.
Well, the episode that we just released today was, I was nervous about doing it because I've avoided this topic for a long time because it's really complicated, but I think we did an all right job with it. And that is we dived into some recent news from IBM about quantum computing.
Yeah.
And some chips that they've been working on and some advances that they're making. And the reason we decided to do it is because quantum computing is not just like, a sideshow fun thing to watch companies do. Like, quantum computing is a big deal, and it's going to affect everyone listening to this because it has the potential to break all of encryption that the internet uses, data encryption. Quantum computing, possibly within the next 10 years, will make modern data encryption obsolete.
Damn.
Really?
They better get on to what's
next.
We
have to figure out how to do it. And I talk about on that episode what quantum computing does and how it's going to break encryption.
Interesting. I've been following some stuff on quantum computing, but not for this. This hasn't come up in any of the stuff I've been reading. So I didn't realize that was a thing, but I have been reading about how I'm trying to understand why all quantum computers, the ones they show you a photo of, they all look like Andy Warhol chandeliers from the 70s. I cannot figure out why they look the way they look. They literally are in a room hanging a bunch of gold and copper shit. It's usually very symmetrical and rounded and like something out of that Devs show, which I guess was a quantum computer in the Devs show. That's what they were trying to portray. And they all look like that for real. And I still don't understand why. Why isn't it some beige case somewhere? Why is it this weird thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, they have no reason to cover it, first of all, because it's just they're working on them in labs.
Like, of course, they don't need the retail cover for sure.
Yeah, but I'll give you the quick teaser, and then if you want to know more, you can go listen to the episode, which is a regular bit on the computer you're using right now is just a switch that's on or off, right? It's electricity is flowing through it or it's not, right?
Right.
That's the zero and the one. Well, the zero and a one in a quantum computer is the spin up or down of an individual electron. So they need very advanced machinery that is made out of very specific materials and held at very specific low temperatures in order to control an individual electron. So that's why.
Okay. That makes sense. Like that. All right. They just are, I can't wait till they get to the point where they don't look so weird because they look fake. They look like 2001 Space Odyssey set dressing. Yeah. They're just funky. But anyway, check that out. All Around Science, wherever you get your podcasts. Bobby, this has been a real pleasure. And I hope I hope your Christmas season is just full of miracles, you know?
Yeah.
Me too.
Full of science, too.
Yeah, scientific miracles. Yeah, go break some science and we'll talk to you next time. All right. Brian, we're back
I wanted to explain mistletoe. Why?
Yeah, why? We were at an IKEA and they had barrels of mistletoe. Barrels
of it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Our local one over here. I think you've been to this one, in fact.
I have, yeah.
They
I think
have.
That might
have
been the first one I ever went to. It's the one where Fletcher and I played around with some of the giant snakes.
Oh, that's right. There's photos of this somewhere.
There's photos somewhere from the first one of the first Nurtaculars where
it was
the Fletchers went to IKEA.
Was it that you guys didn't have one yet or something? There was something
we hadn't had one in Colorado. We didn't get ours in Colorado until 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
It seems impossible that Utah got something first. We never do.
Right.
All right. Well, I'll take my wins when I can get them. That's going to do it today. Now, after the show, when things just wrap up and there's a song and you know how things go here at the end of the show, you're going to hear a special promo sent over to us by our pal, Steven. It's Major Spoiler, Steven Schleicher. He's cooking up a brand new show that's about to launch. And I think you guys are going to enjoy this. So check it out. It's about seven minutes long, seven and a half minutes, something like that. And I will play it for those at home listening right after our song today. So listen for that and check that out. And while you're at it, sign up on our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS today and get all the cool stuff. All right. All the cool kids are doing it. So get in there and take some peer pressure from us and join us on our
Patreon. Be like the cool kids.
That's right.
Exactly.
Patreon.com/TMS is the place to do it. Brian, let's do a song. Oh, good luck on your dental appointment today. I hope nothing's got holes in it or nothing, you know.
Oh my God. Yo, let's hope nothing's got holes in it. Jeez.
Yeah.
No, it should be fine. It's a regular cleaning. And listen, folks, as long as you go to your regular cleanings and you take care of your teeth in between times and all that, then your cleanings will be fine, quick, and pleasant. And I'll be able to listen to Dana Carvey and David Spade talk over Steve Martin and Martin Short during that
cleaning. Oh, wow. That's a room full of talkers, too. Holy crap.
It is, especially Martin Short. Like, who is going to be talking the most in that episode?
Yeah, my guess is oh, gosh, I don't know who will talk. You know what? Probably him. Probably Martin Short. He's going to talk to
probably me. Martin Short. Yeah. By the way, when I was doing stand-up in Canada.
Well, anyway. All right, let's do song. What do you got?
MSG wrote in and said, please stop putting me in Chinese food. No, MSG wrote in and said, hello, Spanx and Bottoms. On TMS 2535, you discussed Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time, which reminded me of this amazing cover by Thank You Scientist. Hey, it's what we could call our segment with Bobby. Thank You Scientist. Mm. So I figured I should share it with the rest of the community. And if you remember the original music video, I highly recommend checking out the video for the cover. Love, MSG.
Nice.
We love hearing from Madison Square Garden. It always makes my day. Mm-hmm. From the single that they released in 2019, here is Thank You Scientist and Party All the Time.
Do you remember the first comic book you read? I really can't, because comic books have been around me for as long as I can remember. When I was a young kid, 5 or 6, I remember reading collected editions of Peanuts and Dennis the Menace, these newspaper comics that my grandparents never threw away from when my mother and her brothers and sisters were kids. They were fun at the time, and they kept me entertained, and for some reason, they always smelled like peanut butter. The collected books, not my grandparents. During the summer, my father would load the family up in the pickup truck with a camper shell, and we would take trips to the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone National Park, Frontier Days, family reunions. To keep my sister and I from killing each other in the back of the truck during these long treks, my mother would buy these 3 packs of comics at the local Town and Country. And if I'd done all of my other reading, you know, Huckleberry Finn, Little Women, The Hobbit, then I could read Star Wars comics, issues 7 and 8 of the original Marvel series, or maybe a Bugs Bunny comic or Andy Panda. When my grandparents came back from a trip to Germany, they brought me a German language copy of Asterix and Cleopatra. And though I didn't understand a word that was written on the inside, the pictures kept me entertained for literally a decade until I found the English translation. When I was the ripe old age of 11, and you know how ripe 11-year-olds can be, I was on another of the famous Schleicher family vacations, and while stopped at a gas station, I somehow convinced my father to spend an entire dollar on World's Finest number 271. Why did I have to have this comic? It was 52 pages, so it was like reading a book, really, and it promised to reveal the secret origin of how Batman and Superman became a crime-fighting team. Little did I know, it would be nothing but excerpts from every Batman-Superman origin story from the last 30 years, cobbled around a weird plot about an android who thought he was a man and was hell-bent on destroying Superman. It did introduce me to the concept of the multiverse, which at the time left my head scratching, but I ended up wanting much more. For those who need the maths done for them, that $1 comic in 1981 would be the same as having a cover price of $3.26 today. That was also about the time I discovered Mad Magazine. Again, thanks to my grandparents who kept my uncle's collection before he went and joined the Navy. I was occasionally able to get my mother to shell out a whole 90 cents for the Raiders of the Lost Ark issue, or Popeye, or whatever else Mad was parodying that month. Mad Magazine was fairly easy to access, as it could be found at the local Alco or the grocery store. These were lower shelf items, an area of the newsstand that kids could easily access, as opposed to a high shelf item where Heavy Metal and Savage Sword of Conan and Vampirilla would reside. If you ever got up on your tiptoes to snag a copy of one of those, Mr. Peek, the owner of Peek's grocery store in my small Kansas hometown, would yell at you for even thinking of reading black and white magazines that were aimed at adults. My friend Tim had a gold key trade paperback collection of Star Trek comics. Now, this tome was passed back and forth between us until he went to high school and his sister got a hold of it, and I never saw it again. And that was about the same time that I got into reading pulp books, specifically The Adventures of Doc Savage. I picked up a first printing of the Bantam reprints at the Kansas State Fair one year, and the next year, DC Comics released Doc Savage number 1 by Denny O'Neil and Adam Kubert. Since Doc Savage was a monthly comic, I knew I had to find out where I could get more of Doc's adventures. In hindsight, that series turned out pretty bad, and it started a decade-long promise of great Doc Savage comics that would ultimately try to bring the character to modern day and fail miserably. And now, in my defense, I didn't know where the series was headed, but it did lead me to finding comic shops in my area. I had a driver's license and an old 1976 Ford F-150, which was in pretty bad shape after all the family vacations, but it steered pretty good and the brakes worked, mostly. In and around 1984, there were 4 comic shops in Topeka, Kansas. 3 in Lawrence, and 1 I could easily get to at the Metcalf Mall in the suburbs of Kansas City. Not a single one of those comic shops exists anymore, and the Metcalf Mall was bulldozed and turned into a Lowe's about a decade ago. We'll come back to that later. Anyway, I would save up my lawn mowing money and odd job payments And once a month or so, I would make a big loop between all of those stores with my friend Mike, looking to find more comics. 1987 was a great year for me to really discover comics, as DC Comics had just finished Crisis on Infinite Earths, which at the time totally wiped away all of the events of World's Finest 271 and promised to fix DC continuity once and for all. John Byrne had just relaunched Superman, Robin was about to die at the hands of the Joker, don't worry, he got better, and Wonder Woman was about to get a defining look thanks to George Perez. Each time I would visit the comic book shop, I was always finding something new from DC Comics. Adventures of Superman, Captain Atom, Dr. Fate, Justice League International, The Question, Wally West as The Flash, and so many more comics lined the shelves. In 1987 alone, DC Comics would launch 32 new titles and miniseries, a virtual explosion of comics. But what if I were to tell you there was a time when DC Comics had even bigger plans? When the comics were going to get supersized? That DC planned to launch 52 titles in 1 year? That $1.52-page World's Finest comic wasn't supposed to be the exception to what comics would be, but rather it was supposed to be the norm? And what if I told you that grand plan came crashing down? That Detective Comics, one of the publisher's top three books, was on the chopping block? That word around the spinner rack was, this was the end of DC Comics. I'm Steven Schleicher, and I want you to come with me on a journey through this tumultuous time and how history repeats itself again and again as we explore the DC implosion.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Directions are on the heavy-duty package.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.